You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, that's about halfway through your New Testament. We are beginning a brand new series this morning called The Secret to Your Dream Life. And now, everybody, I just want you to look right here real quick. Okay, I mean it. Look right here. I'm going to make a statement right now, and then I want you to know I'm going to make a similar statement throughout the rest of this message. I'm going to say this several times, okay? And so I want you to hear this. You guys looking? Okay, you ready? I need you to see what I'm going to show you in this message today. You got to see it. Okay, listen. If you don't see it, otherwise, if you don't see it, there's a good chance you're going to miss out on the life change that Jesus really does want to produce in you throughout this series. You got to see it. Okay? You with me? All right? So, hey, I don't know about you, but I'm excited for this series. Actually, I do know about a few of you. Some of you have told me you're excited for this series. Like, I want the whole series right now, Pastor. Like, let's order lunch and just do the whole thing today. I'm ready to get my dream life on. How many guys ready to get your dream life on? Come on, me too. But listen, hold on. We're going to get there, okay? And then at the same time, I know there. While some of us are excited, I realize there's probably some of us in here that are a little skeptical. Like that title, A Secret to Your Dream Life, you're probably looking at that and saying, well, I've already tried 10 things to a better life, and I'm still waiting. But listen, we're going to get there. Okay, I promise we will get there. I want you to hear me. Listen, that title, I know that sounds like some clickbait article online. I know that it sounds like it could be the title of some self-help book that promises to make everything in life a breeze, but that is not what I'm talking about. Okay? At the same time, though, I want you to hear me. I'm not messing around either. This is for real, okay? Anyone, and I mean anyone, no matter how young, no matter how old, no matter what your background is, no matter your skin color, no matter your gender, no matter how meager life may be or how affluent you are right now, anyone can apply what we're going to talk about in this series. You can apply it to your lives, and I guarantee if you do, you will begin to experience the kind of fulfilling life change that your soul is craving. I'm not here just to give you tips from some self-help book. I'm here to talk about what Jesus says in the book. Amen? Jesus has life for us. So listen, Jesus tells us about a secret thing that we can all do, which means it's really not even a secret then, is it? Yeah, come on. But he tells us about this secret thing we can all do. But here's the truth. Most people, and I mean most people today who say they love Jesus, aren't doing this secret thing that God tells us we can do, and therefore we're not living in the dream. But come on, you want to live in the dream, don't you? Who does it? So listen, that's a good place to start. I just want to be very clear today about what I mean when I say the dream. In fact, that's what we're going to focus on today. And so here's the title of today's message, God's Dream for Your Life. God's dream for your life. We need to understand what the real dream life really is all about. Not just what we've been told it's all about, not just what culture wants us to believe it is. Again, there is a dream life that most people have not yet tapped into. So we're going to focus on the dream today. Now, I will point out the secret as well. Okay, but listen, if we don't understand what the real dream life is really all about, then what's the point in understanding the secret of how we can live it out? We got to know what it's about, okay? So listen, when I use that word dream, here's what I'm talking about. When I say the dream life, listen to me, I'm talking about your life filled with fulfillment. One more time. I'm talking about your life filled with fulfillment. And in case you're wondering, that's the opposite of your life filled with an empty feeling. That's the opposite of your life feeling meaningless. That's the opposite of hopeless and boring and confused. That's the opposite of just trudging through life every day and always hoping and wondering if something could get better at some point, but it never really does. You never really get satisfied. And so then you just settle in at some point, decide this is all there is, and you put up with the status quo. No. This is the opposite of that. I'm talking about fulfillment. Somebody say, sign me up. Come on, fulfillment. I'm talking to you about getting to have a deep and profound sense of satisfaction with the life you get to live. And if you call the gathering home, I think this will resonate. Here's how we've been saying it around here for the better part of this year already. When I say living the dream, I mean living a life of impact and significance. The life of impact and significance, where because of what God does in and through your life, you get to know that you have made and are making an impact on the world around you, both in the lives of the people in your world around you and on the conditions that they live in. And so therefore, when you do that, when you know you are making an impact, you then get to enjoy, you get to experience and live with a genuine sense of significance, the understanding that your life matters, that it would be bad for everyone else if you disappeared or never even existed in the first place. Because what Jesus is doing through your life is just so meaningful. Are you following me? Okay, so listen, I don't want us to get mistaken at the same time. I'm not talking about getting some feeling of self-importance. I'm talking about significance. I'm not talking about getting into some mindset where we feel like our lives are better than others and we're more superior than them. No, that's arrogance. I'm talking about significance. I'm talking about having an understanding that your life has meaning because you humbly love letting God use your life to add true value to the world around you. That's the dream life. Okay, stick with me though, all right? Because I really think that in order for us to understand that real dream life, in order for us to understand fulfillment and the life of impact and significance, in order for us to see it today, then we need to come face to face with many of the things we have all dreamed about already. Okay, so let's have some fun right now. You guys wanna have some fun? You know it's legal to have fun in church, right? Okay, so listen to me. Here's what I want us to do. I just want us to think for a moment. Actually, I want us to dream together for a moment. And now here's the only thing that I ask. As we begin to dream together, all I'm asking is that you be very honest with yourself. Okay? You with me? I just want you to be very honest with yourself as we dream. So here's what I'm asking. What does your dream life really look like right now? Before you walked in the doors this morning and we started talking already, like if somebody would have asked you on your way in, hey, what's your dream life really all about? What would you have really said? Be totally honest. Here's what I mean. If you could do anything or go anywhere and have anything and more of it, you name it. Okay, what do you really dream about? What would just make life just, oh, so good right now? And I want you to hear me. You don't have to church it up right now either just because you're in church. Come on, don't be like, well, Pastor. And you speak in the breathy voice because it sounds more spiritual. Well, Pastor, if I could do anything, I would build a chapel in my backyard and I would fast and pray over the city for 8 hours a day. Don't you lie to me. I want you to be completely honest with yourself, okay? Be honest. Is it a sandy beach with some of those drinks that have the little umbrellas in them? Is it a forever vacation? Is your dream retirement? Is it to be famous? Is it your own private fishing hole? Come on, is it a giant house? Is it to have a perfect body? Or maybe even just a whole set of hair? Come on, you have permission to dream right now. Like when you were a little kid, remember that? How many dreamed about being astronauts, or you were going to be a rock star, or you were going to be a pro athlete, right? Okay, what about this one? I got one more. And again, I'm asking you to be honest this morning, okay? Here's one more. How many of you at some point in your life simply dreamed about this, that one day you were just going to be rich? Don't lie to me right now. Come on, don't church it up. Come on, you know it. At some point in your life, we've all said, like, I just can't, I want to be rich one day, right? This is America. If you're an American, nod your head. That's essentially become the American dream. Look, I'll make you feel a little bit better. My dream is for at least a few of you to get rich. Yeah, I said it. So that we can fund even more Newton Reborn. Listen, we wouldn't just mow lawns on 6th Street. We would rebuild the entire block. We'd call it the 6th Street District. We'd see this theater completely reborn. We would facilitate new restaurants, new businesses, create new jobs in this town. We would break a poverty cycle in this town. We would make Newton a destination. In the midst of it all, we would make disciples who can make disciples and see a people in their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. So that's my dream. Somebody get rich already. Some of you are offended by that. We're having fun. Come on, we're having fun. But listen, come on. I want to use this rich thing just as an example because I really do think it's something that we can all resonate with or relate to because I'm pretty sure we've all thought that at some point, okay? But listen, even if you haven't dreamed about that, okay, what I'm about to say I really think still applies. Okay, let's say maybe you dreamed about being famous or being a pro athlete or maybe it was to be filthy rich, okay? Think about this, though. When we all dreamed about being rich, or you name it, okay, I think this is true. Most of us, if not all of us, had a tendency to dream about what it would be like to live in the dream, but most of us never actually gave much thought to what it was we were going to do to get us there. Come on, most of us dreamed about what it would be like if we were filthy rich and what we would do with our lives, but most of us probably never actually gave any thought to what it was we were going to do in the first place that would allow us to get rich. Come on, we dreamed with the end goal in mind, we just didn't dream about what we were going to do to get there. Are you getting this? Okay, listen, here's the point I'm making, and this can apply to any dream you have. We've all dreamed about the end result. We've all at some point dreamed about some fantasy world, whatever it looks like, someday in the future where we think we'll be happy, but very few of us actually dream about the impact you could make today and therefore the significance you could experience right here and right now and the fulfillment that your soul would receive and that your soul craves, but you think you can only get from some fantasy world in the future. Come on, I want you to listen to me. God didn't create you to live a meaningful life just one day in the future. He dreamed you up and he gave you life because he has a life of impact and significance for you to live right here and right now every day. And check this out. No matter what your one day future dream might be, listen, if you do actually somehow get to that dream, if you find yourself living in it, but you've never discovered how to live the life of impact and significance that Jesus has for you right here and right now, when you do get to that dream, you won't be fulfilled by it. So church family, you've got to see it. Listen, God has a dream for your entire life. God and God's dream is the only thing that can fulfill you, which just leads to my first point right here. God has an everyday dream for your life. God has an everyday dream for your life. God shows us this in his word, that he dreamed you up and that he has an everyday dream for your life. So with your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 2, listen, just one verse. Ephesians 2, verse 10, just one verse shows us all of this, okay? So Paul writes this verse. He writes it to the church in Ephesus a long time ago, but what he writes is an eternal truth that still applies to our lives, to you and to me, to this very day. You guys ready? Ephesians 2. I'm going to read verse 10, and I'm going to read out of the NIV, the NIV, because I love the way it says the last part of this verse, all right? So watch this. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. Who's God's workmanship? We, right? Us. And who makes up us? You and a whole bunch of other yous and me. You are God's workmanship, okay? And then I love this. Some of your translations will say, you are God's, you're his handiwork. Meaning he pieced you together with his hands. Some of your translations, I love this, says you are God's masterpiece. So we are God's workmanship. Watch this. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. You got to notice that. In advance for us, or again, for you to do. One more time. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, so let's break that down, because there's at least three major things that we can get out of this one verse. First off, okay, you are God's workmanship. You are God's handiwork. Nobody else can take credit for the fact that you exist today, not even you. God created you in Christ Jesus. That's the first thing we read. You're his workmanship. And listen to me, John chapter 1 tells us that everything that exists, that everything that was created through Jesus. Okay, so listen, you and I exist through the power of Jesus. Okay, that's how we were created. Yet follow me. Yet even though we were created through Christ Jesus, we were all still born into this world spiritually dead because of our sinfulness, because we are sinners. Listen to me. We exist because God created us, but nonetheless, we've all been born into this world spiritually dead because of our sinful nature. Now, how many of you guys have ever seen some zombie movies? It's a pretty good analogy, okay? Now, you can thank Jesus this morning that when you were first born, you weren't as ugly as a zombie. You might not have made it. But listen, that's a pretty good analogy. The idea is, the idea is the same. Listen, until we give our lives to Jesus, we're all walking around like the living dead. Yeah, we have an existence. We eat, we talk, we breathe air. But until we meet Jesus or give our lives to him, we carry a spirit inside of us that is still dead. Until, listen, hopefully, come on, by the grace of God, there comes a day, there comes a point in your life where you realize your need for a Savior and that you're ultimately dead on the inside. Your life is meaningless and empty apart from Jesus. And so hopefully here's the point where you give your life to him. Or as we say around here, you trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus with your life. That he lived the sinless life that none of us have lived. That he went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, was buried in the grave, took all of our sin with it, rose again to new life, and now he imparts that new life to anyone who will trust in, commit to, and rely upon him. Our sins stay buried in the grave. They're all forgiven. We don't have to stay stuck in them. We get new life. This is what the Bible says. We then, when we make that decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon him, we're then recreated in Christ Jesus. We're created anew in Christ Jesus. We're born again, meaning our spirit then comes alive for the very first time. And my friends, that's when real life begins. And contrary to popular belief today, there is nothing random about that. Your life, there is no random chance about your existence. Your life is not an accident. Hey, again, here's how I know. Because here's the second thing we just saw in that verse. Watch this. Not only did God create you, but he created you for a purpose. We just read, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He created you for a purpose. There's nothing random about purpose, is there? Come on. In other words, you were created to live a life of impact and significance right here, right now, every day. That's why you are alive. This past weekend, a few of us here at the church, we got to go and hang out with our good friend, Pastor Jared Schultz, who pastors a church in Lawrence called the Greenhouse Culture. And so some of you guys will remember him. He's preached here often, and he's had a very huge impact on my life. I mean, just trained me up and helped me understand how to begin to follow Jesus. And he's had a huge influence here in our church. But he said something to us the other day that just articulated so well this thought process that's been running through my heart and running through my brain, but I just haven't quite had the words yet to express what I've been feeling. And so he said this. He said, some people, okay, or some Christians, or even some churches, they live with the understanding that the world is just getting darker and darker and more sinful all the time. Okay? And that's their worldview. When they look at the world, that's what they see. And listen, yes, generally speaking, that's true. The world is getting darker and darker, and sin is increasing. The Bible even says that's going to happen, okay? But listen, here's what's been stirring in my heart that he helped me articulate. We are here to see Newton reborn right here and right now. That's the good work, if you will, that Jesus Christ has called us to here at the gathering. So listen, yes, on one hand, while the world is growing darker and darker, and while, yes, sin is increasing in many ways, listen to me, on the other hand, you can't convince me that God isn't still in the business of recreating the world right here and right now. Come on. You can't convince me that God isn't into still bringing life to this world. That is a Christian view we all need to have. We've all got to have that view that heaven can still show up right here and right now, that God is still bringing life to this world all around us, and that in many ways, the world is even becoming an even more beautiful place in some places and in some cases than it's been before. You following me? Come on, if we don't believe that, then we don't even really believe Newton Reborn. So follow me though, listen to me. You are not random, your life is not meaningless. God created you for a purpose. He has a dream. You are his dream and he has a dream for your life. Even if you don't know what that is yet, you've got to see it today. Listen to me, Jesus Christ created you to do good works. He has an everyday dream for your life right here and right now, where through you, he gets to show up and impact your world. Rather than your world getting darker and darker all around you, with Jesus, God gets to use you to see your world reborn. Come on. And then here's the awesome part. As God has that impact through your life, as you love letting him have that impact and you bring true value to the world around you, you get to experience and enjoy and live with a genuine sense of significance, that your life matters. Come on. And you want to know how I absolutely know that he has a dream for your life? Come on, because here's the third part of that verse. Check this out. He prepared those good works for you to do in advance. He did it in advance before you were born and before you were born again. From the beginning, God dreamed you up. Think about this. Think about what are you actually doing when you make a plan? Like when you're going to make preparations for something, what is it you're actually doing? Like, let's just say that you're going to throw a party at your house. And so because you're a good host, you make preparations for your guests in advance. So you get the appetizers ready. And then you go to Dillon's and you buy a whole variety of Big K sodas. Because after we all did Dave Ramsey at the church, that's all our budget can afford at our house anymore. Yay for Big K, somebody. Amen. You get the Big K sodas. You order the pizza. You then make the dessert, right? Okay, what are you really doing when you're doing all that? You're making preparations, but why? Because you're visualizing the party. Because you're dreaming about the experience you're going to have with your guests and the experience your guests are going to have while they're at your party. Come on, is that right? Come on, so you want to know how I know God has a dream for your life? Because he made preparations for you in advance. He visualized your life and what he wanted you to do with it. Way in advance, he prepared the life of impact and significance for you to live because he loves you and because he was dreaming of creating you specifically to live out this dream he had in mind. So get this. This is good news. You are God's dream come true. You're his dream come true. Follow me. Listen. Your existence, Just the fact that you exist is part of God's dream coming true, because he thought about you, he dreamed you up in advance, and then at just the right time, through Jesus, he made you happen. But I got even more. Come on. God's dream is then fully realized. God's dream fully comes true, not just when you exist, but then when you actually live out and accomplish the actual dream he has for your life. Not just when you exist, but then when you get born again, you give your life to Jesus and you begin to live the life of significance and impact that he planned for you. Come on, are you seeing this? Okay, listen, not done yet. Your dream, and I'm talking about the real dream, the thing that your soul craves, that dream is only fully realized when you live out his dreams. God's dream for your life is the only thing that will bring satisfaction to your soul. It's the only thing that can fulfill you. Which leads to my next and my last point, okay? Point number two, God's dream is better than your dream. This is some good church right now, I'll just tell you. Come on. God's dream is better than your dream. God has a dream for your life. You might have a dream for your life as well, but I'm telling you, his dream is better than anything you can come up with. Okay, just last week, my oldest son, Nolan, and I, we were hanging out. He's 8 years old, and we were eating lunch together, and he started talking to me about the universe. Like, we started talking about stars and planets and all this stuff. But I began to realize as he was talking to me about the universe that he was under the understanding that our solar system, you know, the sun and the earth and the planets right around us, I began to realize that he thought that our solar system was the entire universe, okay? Now, here's just a little bit about me. I'm a nerd when it comes to this stuff. Like, I love talking about stars and planets and the universe, you name it. Okay, in fact, how many of you guys remember back in the day on PBS, there was a little show in between the other shows? It was called Star Hustler with Jack Horkheimer. That was a song, right? Come on. I'll put it on YouTube later. Some of you guys will... You'll have your minds blown. Man, some of you guys don't think I know how to hustle. I've been star hustling since the 80s, baby. Some of you aren't so sure. Okay, but all right. So I got a little bit of knowledge up here, okay? And so when my son began to talk to me about how he thought the universe was just our solar system, I wanted to give him some more information. And so I began to tell him. I just said, son, I'm not sure if you really realize this, but our solar system is just one teeny, tiny part of an enormous galaxy called the Milky Way. I said, in fact, they estimate right now that there are over 100 billion other suns or stars with their own solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy alone. His mind was blown. But so we kept going. And then, so again, I'm a nerd. So I pulled up some Google images of the Hubble telescope, some of those images that the Hubble has shot. And so there's one in particular where it just shows an enormous amount of galaxies. And I began to show them galaxies and what they look like. And I said, and son, here's what they currently estimate that there are over 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe. I want you to catch this. Not just the whole universe, just in the part that we can see from here on Earth. Mind blown. And so, but I kept going. I wanted to give him a picture of just how big the universe really is. And so I said, so back to the Milky Way, son, the nearest star to our solar system, if we were going to try to travel to the nearest star just in the Milky Way with our current technology, with the current spaceships that we have, at least that the government tells us about. I'm kidding. Don't send me your YouTube videos on that stuff, okay? Just all right, I'm just having fun with you. But with our current technology, with our current spaceships, I said, son, it would take us over 19,000 years to travel to the nearest star. And I love this. That's when my son said this. He said, "Dad, how did God come up with all of that?" I said, "I don't know, son. I just know he's really, really smart like that." Church family, do you really believe that you can come up with a dream for your life that's going to fulfill you more than the one God can come up with? Come on. And hey, stars and planets and the universe aside, listen to me. God created you. He thought you up. You yourself did not come up with the idea of you. God created you. He brought you into existence. He gave you life. Do you really think that you can say to the Creator, "Hey, Creator, I know that you thought me up. I know that you dreamed about me. I know that you designed me and made me and gave me life. But Creator, I think I know the best way to use it." Church family, that would be like a pile of paint saying to the artist, "Artist, I just don't feel like being some paint colors anymore. I think I'll be best being motor oil. No, I got a better idea. Ooh, I think I would make a delicious dipping sauce. Yeah, that's what, I bet if you dip some fries in me, I would be delicious." Church family, ain't nobody happy, satisfied, and fulfilled when you dip some French fries in some Sherwin-Williams. In church family, you and the other people around you in your world that God has planned for you to impact, you and the world around you, you aren't going to be fulfilled, and the world around you is going to be less fulfilled when you choose to live for your dream rather than God's. I got to know something. Are you seeing it? Come on, are you seeing this? Are you seeing that you are God's dream and that God has a dream for your life? I'm not asking if you already know what that dream is. I'm not asking if you feel like you're already living it. I'm just asking, would you agree with me that He created you and He did so for a reason, that He had a dream about your life? He had a dream and a reason a long, long time ago. Come on, this series is designed to set you on a path to where you can discover His dream for your life so that you can begin to live it out. But if you don't see it, if you really don't believe that God has a dream for your life, then you're going to miss out on the life change that I know Jesus wants to produce in you throughout the rest of this series. You've got to see it. And so, by the way, you want to know what the secret really is? I'll point at it, okay? If God knows the real dream for your life, then what do you think the secret is for discovering it and beginning to live it out? Okay. I love talking to people about their dreams. I love it. One of my spiritual gifts is the gift of encouragement. And so I love encouraging people. I especially love it when I meet somebody who's following Jesus and they love following Jesus and God's put a dream in their heart. I love encouraging that. I love supporting that. I love seeing it happen, okay? I've met a lot of people over the years that have had some very bad and selfish dreams for their lives. I had a very selfish dream for my life for a very long time, okay? However, there's only been one time I've only met one guy who didn't have any dream at all. This was about 10 years ago. And look, he went to church, and I don't doubt for a second that he was sincere in his desire to follow Jesus. But I was asking, "Man, what are you dreaming about? What do you want to do?" And he's like, I've never had any dreams. Like, I don't really dream about doing anything. I said, "What? Like, what do you mean?" I said, "What about when you were a kid? Like, when you were a kid, surely you dreamed about what it was you were going to be when you grew up." He's like, "Honestly, even as a kid, I just never even knew what I wanted to do. I never even thought about that stuff." And as an adult, he didn't know either. Okay, listen. I didn't understand at the time, but I do now. Here's what I can see now that I couldn't see back then. This is the truth. he was never really encouraged along the way. Honestly, looking back, he lived a very discouraged life. Truthfully, he really didn't have hardly anyone in his life up to that point that had told him, I love you. He didn't have people in his life that had said, you're valuable. He didn't have people in his life that encouraged him along the way. He didn't have people in his life that told him the truth that God loved him, that God has a plan for him, and that nothing is impossible with God. Let me say it this way. Listen, he didn't have people in his life who understood what significance is all about. He didn't have people in his life who were therefore making an impact on him. Family, do you know how many church people today have no idea that God really loves them, that God does have a plan for them, and that nothing is impossible for God? Do you know how many people today say they love God, but they're not living in the dream? They're not living a life of impact and significance? You listen to me right now. That is not God's plan for your life. That is not his plan. God dreamed you up, and God's never had a bad dream. You are God's masterpiece. And God's never made an accident when he created anything. You are here today. You are here right now for a purpose. God is calling you. God has life for you. God has an everyday dream for your life. It involves significance. It involves impact. Maybe no one's encouraged you along the way, but you keep hanging out with us, and we will be that voice in your life. We will keep telling you we love you. We will keep calling you up to more of what Jesus has for you. He has more than what you're even in right now. I promise you that. And you keep pressing into Jesus. You keep saying, Jesus, I want to do things your way. You keep going after him. And I guarantee that dream is going to start to unfold in your life. Maybe you feel like you're too old, or that it's too late, or that you missed out, or you wasted a bunch of your life already. If you're still breathing, then you're only breathing because God still has a plan. Listen, maybe you feel like you're late to that party. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't been preparing in advance this whole entire time and working behind the scenes of your life to get you ready for this moment where you meet him right here today. He is for you. Today is the day. God has a dream for your life. It's better than anything you could ever come up with. It's better than anything you've ever dreamed up on your own. And you can live it out. You can live the life of impact and significance that God has planned for you. My only questions today are, come on, can you see that? Do you believe it? I'm asking, do you believe, come on, that God, that you are his workmanship, that he created you in Christ Jesus to do good works, that he prepared it in advance for you, that he dreamed you up, and you can live the life that he has for you. Come on, do you believe that? And here's the other question. Come on, whose dream do you want more? Yours or his? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Man, if you can't hear this, I know this is resonating in my heart. You need to hear it. You are God's dream come true. You may not feel like it right now, but your feelings don't make it any less true. He loves you. He's not against you. He's not out to get you. He is, however, holding out his hand saying, I've got more than what you're in right now. And maybe you feel like, man, I've kind of been living the dream. Oh, don't stop. He's much better than anything we're even currently living in. Come on, he's always got more. But maybe you feel stuck, or maybe you don't know how you're going to get out of something. God has a dream for your life. He has a plan. And he's not mean either. He's not the kind of God that says, I've got a plan, but then never wants to do anything to help us walk in it. He is here reaching out his hand. You don't have to know what the dream is. You don't have to feel like you're already living it. All I'm asking today is, in your heart, would you tell Jesus the truth? Do you want it? Do you want what he wants? If you want it, just tell him, God, I want your dream for my life. I want what you have planned. I want to go your way. And what if we even ask him for forgiveness? Come on, I've asked him so many times for forgiveness. God, forgive me for all the ways that I chased my own thing, that I went after the thing that I had put in my heart, the thing that I valued above what you value. God, forgive us that we have chased our own dreams. Forgive us that we've gone our own way, Lord. We're choosing today. We want to follow you. We determine, Lord, we believe it. Your dream is better than our dream. You and you alone have the satisfaction and the fulfillment, the life of significance and impact, God. You have that. We can't produce it on our own. Forgive us, Lord, for trying and for pressing in and trying even harder on our own ways, God. We relent and we say, Jesus, your way is best, and have your way. And Lord, I pray over this church family right now, everybody in this room that's saying they want it, that they want to do what you want to do. I pray, would you meet them? Would you bless them? Would you show up in this series in a powerful way? Would you come and begin, I mean it, to make dreams come true? Would you begin to show us the way? Would you draw us into more of yourself, Lord, life with you and what you have, God? I pray that all around us, Lord, in our worlds, we can begin to see our worlds, Lord, our neighborhoods, our families, or just even in our own homes, our schools, Lord, our businesses. I pray we could see Newton reborn. I pray we'd all be used for the good work that you have in mind, Jesus. Thank you so much. We love you. We believe you. And we choose to follow you. It's in your name that we pray. And my whole church family said, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.